happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
I'm Ann Northrup.
I'm Maren Johns from Queer 40.
And we are here to do Gay USA today. Andy Hum is still away. He will return next week. And we will have to say a temporary goodbye to Maren. But it's great to have you here, Maren.
Really Thank is. You. Thank you. I'll be back in the fall, I hope.
Oh, I'm counting on that. Don't make me nervous. at any rate, so this week, well, you know, we'll give you the headlines in a second, but I have to say that with Trump's third indictment now, I've been desperately searching for the last 24 hours for some gay angle to that so we could talk about it more on the show. But the fact is, just as human beings, we are all affected by him. And I've heard a lot of people say in the last 24 hours that some people say, oh, it's so sad that we're doing this and we shouldn't be celebrating. You know, it's the indictment of a former president. And I say nonsense. The sad part was the last 7 years of having to deal with him. It's about time we got to celebrate.
I am with you on that. He is not to be trusted. I'm with you on that. I just don't want him back in the race. That's the thing for me now.
Well, good luck on that. But you had an observation. We were chatting yesterday about what actually we risk by having him still around that is specifically related to us.
Yes, I feel that because he's so obviously not to be trusted, that he can really hold the reality and a bold-faced lie simultaneously. This is incredibly dangerous for our community because he will not stop. He will not not stoop to using us as a scapegoat. And I do feel that he's a great appropriator. I think should he knock DeSantis out of the race, he'll just steal the DeSantis playbook and it'll be on. And we won't get off lightly at all. So that is my fear. That's why I just want him gone.
I think that's true. I think he's doing it already. And I think he promised us in 2016 that he was going to be our best friend. And that went right out the window as he day after day after day did terrible things to us. So, yes, it is specifically dangerous for us. So maybe we should get on with the rest of the news because we'll have him to kick around for quite a while. So New York City this week has been stunned by the murder of a young gay professional dancer in an argument in the parking lot of a gas station with anti-gay attackers, one of whom knifed him to death. We'll give you the details of that.
That's probably the worst, terrible story. We're going to look at the way that our community is being assaulted and the ongoing commitment from the right to erase our existence. And this is happening in, of course, the battle zone now as schools and libraries.
Yeah, it just escalates more and more every week. But judges in Arkansas and Montana have temporarily, at least, stopped implementation of a couple of really heinous anti-LGBTQ plus laws.
And the increasingly heroic Governor Whitmer has signed laws making Michigan the 22nd state to outlaw conversion therapy for minors.
Yeah, I do see her increasingly as heroic. And there's a hero somewhere in the basement of Google, I think, who really likes us. And this is a story I can't believe happened and can't believe is ongoing, but we'll tell you what the deal is.
That's right. I want lesbians who tech to take notice. Somebody in Google likes us. Yeah. I'm going to do a little bit of yapping about the FIFA Women's World Cup, which is currently hosting 11 matches down under in my hometown of Sydney.
Yeah, and you'll be there next week, I guess, or a couple of weeks. I envy you that. But me, you know, OutSports is telling us they're like close to 100 LGBTQ players in the Women's World Cup. And trans men are fighting back against anti-trans discrimination at the Miss Italy pageant. This is this week's installment of pageant news around the world.
Yeah.
But we start with this terrible story in New York. So O'Shea Sibley was, look at him there, a beautiful, accomplished professional dancer, having a wonderful career working in one of the Alvin Ailey programs, originally from Philadelphia, where he was part of the Phil Danko company there, moved to New York a few years ago for his career, has performed with the Lincoln Center operation, and really popular, is a great guy, and really prominent in the dance world. Well, he and some friends went to the beach this weekend, and as they came home, they stopped for gas. And as they were pumping gas, they were pumping up Beyonce on the car radio and dancing around the car, voguing and dancing, just having a good time on a weekend after the beach. Well, who should walk out of the convenience store at the gas station but a bunch of young men who started yelling at these guys, saying, "We're Muslims. We don't tolerate gay people. Stop dancing. You have to stop doing that." And they got in a big argument, both groups. They went back and forth. People tried to separate them. It looked like they were going to go their separate ways for a minute. And then they started yelling at each other again. There's a little unclear video footage of this. Yeah. And it ended up with one of the self-identified Muslim group stabbing O'Shea Sibley to death.
Yes. He's a 17-year-old, by the way, and he's being sought by police.
The killer, not the...
Yes, no. O'Shea was 28, but the suspect is 17, which is very disturbing to me that someone so young can be so offended by this. Like to thank Beyonce. She has acknowledged the terrible tragedy, and on her homepage overnight, she did pay a tribute to the victim. She said, as soon as you log on to Beyonce's website, she says, "Rest in power, O'Shea Sibley," in big letters. So I'm very pleased that she has acknowledged that. New York City Mayor Eric Adams also addressed the death. He said, "Now you have an incident like we saw over the weekend with this young man who was experiencing that hate crime. We will find that person responsible. It shakes our confidence when you have someone that randomly assaults someone who could have a real mental health issue." Well, I think they could have a real religion issue.
Yes, and I resent the mayor's statement because, A, it wasn't a random attack. He went after him with a knife. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just going up and down the street, and he wasn't a victim of a mental health issue either. What the mayor is referring to is the ongoing violence in the streets by people who do have mental health issues and have some kind of weapon. This is entirely different. This
absolutely
is, and I really resent his analysis of this.
Yeah.
Also, I agree with you about the young man. He is reported to have been a troublemaker for a while at that gas station convenience store. He had a reputation. And I think it is, I mean, I don't say this to certainly blame the victim, but I think we've got to learn to walk away from these confrontations and not risk that some religious fanatic kid is going to pull out a knife and do this. We don't know who has what, but it's very dangerous. And I really urge people to think twice. But I mean, I know how rage is produced immediately and adrenaline, but really we've got to be smarter about walking away.
Yeah, I think so. It's very hard. I understand that gay men for so long have used dance and euphoria as a survival strategy. It is really core to their identity. So this is just very unfortunate on a very hot night. And that's the other thing, that this, all of these crimes escalate over summer, where people are really at their wit's end. You know, they've had several sleepless nights. It's hot. hot and bothered. And I feel it's a tragedy, unfortunately, that shouldn't have happened, but it is also very New York, I must say.
Yeah. Well, you know, when someone's yelling at you and calling you a pervert or whatever, you want to respond. I understand that, but really not a good idea. There is a community gathering planned for Friday, if you're seeing this before then, at 4 p.m. This Friday at 1935 Coney Island Avenue. I think that must be the, I'm going to guess that's the gas station, but I don't know that. Anyway, you can Google this, Community Response Friday, this Friday, August 4th, 4 p.m., 1935 Coney Island Avenue in Brooklyn. All right. Moving on. This is, of course, is not the only violent story, but it has quite caught the imagination of New Yorkers and scared them, as if they didn't know this happened to LGBTQ people every day. But in New Hampshire, there's a gay male couple who own a chocolate shop and just run their own small local business. And a bunch of teenagers decided to target them and broke into their apartment above the chocolate shop and attacked them. It's not happening just outdoors anymore. Now they're coming at it for us at home.
Yes, and again, young people, I really do worry about that. You know, I always said this on the program before, it used to be a very much a truism that the younger generations would be better, quote unquote, but clearly they can definitely not be. I do worry about the security of the gentlemen that live there. Apparently these kids would climb up on that ledge that you can see there, and they tried to get into the top apartment multiple times. Yeah. I think one of the gentlemen has been, he's got facial lacerations. William Poole was struck in the eye with a blunt instrument and suffered lacerations, bruises, and stitches from the assault.
Well, the most danger comes from young men in their mid to late teens and early 20s. That's where the bulk of the violence comes from. So you're right about young people. All right, if we keep going at this rate, we'll get through two more stories. In Watertown, Wisconsin, a Pride in the Park event was harassed by a neo-Nazi group calling themselves the Blood Tribe, who showed up with rifles and swastika flags and that banner that says "Stand with Us" or "Stand with Pedophiles."
Yeah,
that's what you want to see at your Pride event.
And as usual, they're all covered up because that's how bigotry works.
Yes. I'm looking at other violence stories. All right. Well, let's move on to Wyoming, Campbell County, Wyoming's Library Board. Mm-hmm. How do these people get elected? Fired the director of the library, Terry Leslie, because she refused to do a search of all the books in the library to find any that had any LGBTQ content or other sexual references. It's a real problem that people define us sexually as opposed to just people. And so she's been fired.
The vote was 4-1, but upon her departure, she was given a standing ovation from a group of up to 250 people, it's reported.
Yes, and 250 people show up at the library board meeting to support Terry Leslie, but yet the library board sits there and votes to fire her. Just unbelievable. In Iowa, a school district has compiled a list of 374 books that could be banned. Now, first of all, they make these lists, they gather the books, and then they sit there for months because who's going to take the time to go through all those books to look for the content? But the books that have been targeted include a biography of Mayor Pete Buttigieg, The Color Purple, which does have some lesbian sexual content and a little violence. Catcher in the Rye.
What was the sexual content in The Catcher in the Rye? it's deeply inferred. It's barely, I mean, you can, it just goes over your head. It did when I was, I read it when I was 16 and I didn't even think twice about it.
Yeah, it's been too long since I've read it, but you know, he was an iconoclast. Yeah. That's illegal in the United States now. You cannot be different.
Do you know they've also got George Orwell's 1984 on this book list, and that does have sexual content. But I tell you what, I read that when I was, I think, 14. I have never forgotten it, and it's essential reading for anybody who wants to avoid this kind of crap, because that's what we're heading right into, is 1984 territory.
Exactly. We should have a reading list like that. 1984, The Handmaid's Tale. We could compile a whole list of warning books. All right. In Houston, they are Houston. 28 Houston schools are going to fire their librarians and turn their libraries into disciplinary centers. Because the kids are not, you know, learning well enough. But this is basically to cut them off from any kind of information, any kind of other worldview. This is, I'm telling you, it's an endless list of things like this. Mm-hmm. In Indiana, a teacher tried to sue against the local Don't Say Gay law, went to court, and has been denied a preliminary injunction against the law. The judge there, and we've got a lot of good judges and some stories on that coming up, but this judge said, nope, we're going right along with that Don't Say Gay law.
Yeah, I'm hoping the ACLU is representing this person. So this teacher, Kayla Smiley, is being represented. So I really hope that they keep pushing Yeah, Smiley said that the reason she filed that suit was because she actually doesn't know. The law is so broad, she actually doesn't know how to stick to it and still teach. Laws are like that.
Well, it's very clear. Don't ever mention gay people, trans, non-binary, anything. Just do not. They're off the board. We do not exist anymore.
Well, she's like, I've got a biography of Elton John in the library. Is that that goes on the bonfire as well? Okay.
Back to Houston, where a couple of teachers, Christy Maris and a colleague, have been fired by a Christian school, Christian First Baptist Academy, because they attended a drag show at the Hamburger Mary's restaurant. Now, nothing could be more benign than these shows at Hamburger Mary's, which are a chain. I don't know how many of them there are. But they on their own time, they go to lunch at Hamburger Mary's and enjoy the drag show. And now they're fired by their school.
Yes, her mistake was posting it on Facebook and saying this was such a blast, which I imagine was, you know, kicking back with a couple of mimosas, watching the waitress come out dressed as drag and lip syncing to music. And now she says they were also fired immediately. She didn't even have time to say goodbye to the kids, the parents, anything. It was get your stuff and go.
Or appeal the decision. But those drag queens, they stand up. They held a benefit for the teachers and started a GoFundMe page, and those have been successful. So that's the good part of the story. All right. In Arkansas, a judge there has blocked a law that criminalizes booksellers and librarians who provide what the law describes as harmful material to minors. The judge said, you know, stop it. The Constitution guarantees free speech. What are you doing passing a law like this? This is outrageous and unconstitutional, and I am issuing an injunction against implementation of this law. Let's hope that stands up.
Yeah, and that law was the dreadful Sarah Huckabee brought that law in, so you can thank her for that. Sarah Huckabee Sanders brought that.
It blows my mind that she's the governor of a state.
Yeah.
And in Montana, a judge there has issued a temporary injunction against a new law in Montana that bans drag queen story hours.
Now, that was done specifically to let Montana get through their Pride, because there are thousands of people who actually do want to go to Pride. It's significant to them. It's a bonding period for the community. And I think the judge realized that if that law was in effect during Pride, suddenly you could have thousands of people being arrested if they happened to walk past a drag queen with their child.
I don't think the right wing would mind that. I think they're looking to fill the jails with all of us. And in Orlando, Florida, we're back to the DeSantis versus Disney story. You remember that DeSantis installed his own horrible people on this board that is overseeing the Disney area. And now what they have done, Disney outsmarted them on a couple of things at first, but now they're feeling their power, and they have canceled the Disney Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion program at Disney World, and they fired all the people working there. And, you know, who gave them that power?
I mean, terrible. It's incredible. A great American company, great American brand turned into a political football. It's really extraordinary.
All right. In Hazlet, New Jersey, a mother takes her son who has autism to the movies, and he wants to use the restroom, and she doesn't feel comfortable taking him into the men's room. And in a long tradition of this happening, how many little boys have I seen in women's restrooms? Well, he's not quite so little. He's like 15, but he's living with autism. And so she takes him into the women's restroom, and they get thrown out of the theater. And the theater manager says, "This is not a transgender bathroom."
Yeah. This is terrible. I mean, so the mother's name, Christine Gallinaro of Holmdel, New Jersey, she said she did a video saying that her son was nonverbal in his autism. So if something had happened to him in the men's room, he can't address it, talk about it, or cry for help. So this seemed to her to be much safer. And the women in the bathroom knew and didn't mind. So it's really just the bee in the bonnet of who the head usher was, the manager of this place. Well, she called the security guard over. The security guard called the police. The police turn up. I mean, it's just incredible.
And everything evidently now is defined as, if you don't like something, you call it transgender. Even though that has nothing to do with it.
Right.
All right. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, lesbian artist, Arlene Olshan, 78 years old, has filed a human rights complaint. Sorry, I keep saying that. Against the directors of the Mount Airy Art Garage. She co-founded the Mount Airy Art Garage, and now they are hiding her lesbian art because no one wants to look at naked women.
As you said, Anne, there goes 2,000 years of art history.
Unbelievable. I mean, these are little pencil drawings from the 70s. They're not obscene. They're just, we're not even seeing anything naked beyond their shoulders. And she's the co-founder of the gallery.
And a real gutless move. Apparently they waited until she was away dealing with a health issue before they took down the artwork and faced the wall with it. Yes.
They know they're doing the wrong thing. All right. Let's get into a little better news. First of all, thank you to Michigan Governor Whitmer, who really is just doing better and better all the time. Look at her there. She signed a no conversion therapy for minors bill. Of course, like others, this applies only to professional therapists. You can't touch those religious therapists. But anyone who is state licensed can now not perform conversion therapy on minors. And this is the 22nd state to do this. She also said that she is the mom of a community member and a proud lifelong ally of our communities. And I thought that was pretty terrific.
Absolutely. And she's wearing Barbie pink there, I see.
That Barbie. And the Boy Scouts, you know, we fought the Boy Scouts for decades.
Yeah.
And all the stuff about pedophile scoutmasters and all that nonsense. And not that there aren't, but that's a whole different subject. So now we've come so far with the Boy Scouts that the annual Boy Scout National Jamboree in Virginia now features affinity tents around the grounds. They have them on the basis of race and religion and gender, because now they have girls in the Boy Scouts. And this is the LGBTQ plus affinity tent.
Yes. And, you know, 18-year-old River Capel, who is a scout volunteer from Northern Virginia, they said that about in one day they thought maybe 2,000 people dropped by just to ask questions, hang out, say hello, and feel at home.
Wow. Maybe we have reached the 21st century. But really, before I get to that, Lawrence, Kansas, which is a pretty progressive college town in Kansas, and their city council unanimously voted to make Lawrence an LGBTQ sanctuary city in the middle of very red Kansas, because the legislature has passed all these anti-trans laws. And Lawrence said, well, you know, the state can do that, but we are going to be an island of sanity in the middle of Kansas. They also have a great governor who tries to veto these laws and gets overridden by the hugely Republican legislature. But thank you to Kansas for doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Should we talk about Key West, which is also a kind of an oasis of queerness in Florida? We've got a drag performer running for state house in Key West. She is the girl, I don't know how they identify, but they're trying to unseat a Republican in the Florida state legislature, where you know things are getting really bad. And this wonderful drag queen, now let me find their name. They work at a bar on Duval Street.
Michael Elgin Travis.
Yes.
Who performs as Erica Rose, and who went to Tallahassee, the state capital, recently to lobby against all DeSantis's anti-LGBTQ plus bills, and got so fired up by it that they decided to actually get involved in politics and try to have some power and make a difference by running for office. So
yes, and if they're elected, they're going to be the first professional drag queen in the state's legislature. What a busy person. They run a ghost tour down there. They're a bartender at the 801 Bourbon Bar, and they perform two nights a week in drag at a bar on Duval Street. So if you're down there, go and support.
Yeah, you want something done, ask a busy person.
That's right.
All right. In Detroit, there was a murder in 2018 of a trans woman, Kelly Stoff. We have a picture of her. And yeah, there she is. And finally, her murderer, Albert Weathers, who is an ex-pastor, more Christianity at work, has taken a plea deal for killing her in a fight over money. She evidently was a sex worker, and he was giving her a hard time about paying her and then ended up killing her. Well, he is now going to be sentenced to 10 years in prison for that murder.
It's very confusing. I read an article in the Detroit News going back to 2019, which said at the time he was a security guard and he had indeed picked her up. And then he claimed self-defense and stabbed her under the left armpit. So that would have gone into her heart and lungs, unfortunately. But it seems it was definitely an altercation over money. But I don't think he's telling the story straight. And then after being a security guard, it looks like he went and became a pastor. Now he's not a pastor at all. Very, very disturbing
charming case. Charming. Yeah. And Tyler Perry, the great filmmaker from Georgia, Atlanta, wrote a Facebook, I think, post or maybe Instagram that is offering $100,000 for the conviction of the murderer of a gay man in Grenada, John T. Robinson, who is the great good friend of a great good friend of Tyler's. He was strangled and thrown into the sea. He was 24 years old and an accomplished singer.
It's terrible. Police are questioning suspects, including somebody he used to live with. Homosexuality is illegal in Grenada proper. And under the Criminal Code, which is one of those colonial, penal colony kind of laws, section 431, gay male sex is considered to be an unnatural crime punishable by imprisonment for 10 years. So this is another place I would say in the Lesser Antilles, this part of the Caribbean that really needs to come into the modern world.
Well, a lot of these laws, of course, are colonial laws brought by the British or other European nations. And the Caribbean has been a tough nut to crack over the years, but progress is being made. Laws are being changed country by country. You've got a long way to go in the Caribbean, but it's a little better than it used to be. And not so good in Oklahoma, where Governor Stitt has signed very proudly a Women's Bill of Rights. And what is the key provision here? People shall be defined by their sex assigned at birth. We will not under any circumstances recognize non-binary people, trans people. Forget it. They don't exist. Just another example of legal attempts at erasure, not appealing or attractive.
Or correct, or real, or true.
Exactly. Brittany Griner, who suffered so much in captivity in Russia, is taking a little break from her basketball career with the Phoenix Suns to improve her mental health. May have come back a little too fast, do you think?
Oh, I think she would come back with PTSD. There is no doubt that it might even just be kicking in, you know, now what she's been through.
All right. A little, we started last week with all the sins of the Republicans in the federal government and then in the Congress, and they're still at it. The Senate passed a good version of the defense bill after the House had hung all this anti-LGBTQ and anti-abortion stuff on it. The Senate passed a clean bill, as they say, 88 to 11. So that's a lot of Republicans signing on to the clean bill. But this is going to go to a conference committee to try to iron this out. They're going to get nowhere with that. And people are really afraid that this and other bills like this could shut down the federal government in September or October. The Senate, but even in doing this, the Senate deleted the mandate for people's pronouns to be recognized as what they want. So they took that out in an attempt to get more Republican support and froze the diversity, equity, and inclusion jobs in various parts of the federal government. So that is not supposed to be expanded. And meanwhile, in the House, the MAGA Republicans in the House, on another military bill, are forcing the voiding of contracts. They're forbidding the voiding of contracts with those who discriminate. They are forbidding gender-affirming care in the military, including for veterans, because military care covers people after they're out of the military. No pride flags at VA facilities and no diversity programs. That's the newest defense bill courtesy of the House.
Yeah, that is very heavy.
Well, they just keep doing this stuff, and Kevin McCarthy lets them, and so do the other Republicans in the House. There are only about 20 of them who are doing this, but the rest of the Republicans in the House go along with it. So that's very discouraging.
Yeah. Do they have any idea how many LGBTQ vets there are? I mean, there's so many. I know so many, just as a one accidentally.
Yeah. And Pence has climbed on the DeSantis bandwagon to say he too would forbid trans people from serving in the military, which Trump did while he was in office at the behest of Pence and his right-wing Christian friends. And DeSantis announced he'd get rid of trans people in the military. And now Pence is back to that old saw. It's discouraging.
It makes you want to say nasty things. I have to zip my lip.
Well, you don't want to say nasty things. Pee-wee Herman was in the room, and now Paul Rubens, who created this character, has sadly died at age 70. There he is on Cherry, the chair that he called Cherry.
He was very beloved, wasn't he? By comics, too, by people who were comedians and performers. Sandra Bernhard posted on her Instagram the other day that she was inspired by him. He was subversive, and he really wasn't original.
Bette Midler posted of how sorry she was to lose him. He was 70 years old. He had cancer for about 6 years. He apologized before his death for not telling anyone that. Pee-wee's Playhouse was kind of a kid's show for adults, although kids loved it too, because he was, it was subversive. It was had all sorts of little jokes in there, but he was sincerely playing a kid. And appealing to kids. And he did a TV show. He did a show on Broadway. He did movies. He did all of it. And Pee-wee was not his only character. He did like a dozen movies as Paul Rubens that were highly admired and have been written about, too. And, of course, he had a famous lesbian sister, Abby Rubenfeld, a lawyer in Tennessee, who has been a major player in LGBTQ legal circles. And his sexuality, who knows? You know, he was arrested in a porn movie theater, a straight porn movie theater, pleasuring himself.
What a lot of people don't know about that incident was that he wasn't the only one. There were several men at the time in the cinema.
Theater,
and yes, and of course, there were several men that were arrested. It was part of obviously a raid. And sadly, he got caught up in it and even offered, once he realized that they knew who he was, they looked at the ID, he offered to perform Pee-wee Herman for them to try and get off. I mean, it's sad. And but I never heard of him hurting anybody except himself.
Absolutely not. And one of his strongest themes was that he had grown up in Florida in a very segregated territory, and he hated that. And so he made a big point of casting a lot of Black actors on Pee-wee's Playhouse much earlier than a lot of other people. Esapatha Murkerson was on the show, and a lot of others. And he really had the right values and worked to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
Wow. So we'll miss him. He was a good guy. And I've been saving this one other little story. Google. So you know about these home devices, these smart home devices, Alexa, Siri, whatever. Well, Google has one, a smart home device. And it has now been discovered that if you say to the Google smart home device, tell me something positive, it replies with positive facts about the LGBTQ community. That's all it does. It doesn't say it's a nice sunny day. It doesn't.
It says, I learned on Wikipedia that NBA player Jason Collins was on the cover of Time magazine's 100 Most Influential People in 2014. He was the first openly gay athlete in any of the four major U.S. sports leagues. They've got little tidbits about Alan Turing, Alan L. Hart, basically achievers, high achievers. So thank you, Google.
Speaking of subversive, it just doesn't get more subversive than that. So I'm dying to know who at Google is doing this. And I'm also, I sit here with all fingers and toes crossed that this continues for a while. I'm shocked that I haven't heard that it's stopped yet. Maybe by the time you see this, it will have. But it's just thrilling.
It's thrilling, but the kicker for me is, and we'll talk about this some other time, but it just also does show you how AI could, in the hands of anybody, I mean, this also could have been somebody from the right programming these devices to say whatever. So it's on our side this time, but I do get worried about this stuff sometimes.
Well said. Well said. All right. And on that note, let's move to international news, if we may.
Yes.
Let's start with the Women's World Cup because fixated on that.
I'm not. You know what's really funny? I'm not a sporty lesbian. I never have been. I just wouldn't know what kind of ball is being thrown at me at any given time.
A sporty lesbian.
Yeah, you should be doing this, Anne. But I was very happy to be invited down under by Destination New South Wales to cover what this means for us, for women's sports, what it means for that part of the world. And, of course, I'm very interested in the success of the US women's team. I hope they are the favourite, obviously. I will be going to see the grand final, and I'm really hoping they're
not the favourite anymore.
No, and I hope they turn that fortune around. But one of the wonderful things about this event is that outsports.com has been tracking the number of out women athletes, and there's 95 that are competing this year, which is a record. It's more than double last time this happened, and it's more than 13% of the entire 736 players. Of course, Megan Rapinoe is a hero to us because she's done so much to elevate this within the sport with her pride, genuine pride in her identity, and no hiding, such leadership quality. It's what the hair is about for her, I think. She in fact, wants to draw attention to her difference, which is fabulous. And I think she's doing it in the right way.
I think she's trying to pull the entire US team on her back at this point, but she is in her late 30s and you can see it on her face, the strain on her face. That count of 95 includes a few non-binary players, including Quinn from Canada, who is there. Canada has been eliminated, so Quinn is not going to be playing anymore, but is looking terrific there. I'm excited to hear about your adventures there.
I am, and I'm so excited to see players from countries that aren't necessarily LGBTQ friendly as much as we are, like Brazil, that have more than a handful of players on their team. So it's terrific.
Yeah, well, have a great time there.
Thank you.
We'll do another, 15 minutes and then let you start packing. In worse news, in Malaysia, we have been telling you, the whole thing about the 1975 ban last week, who were spouting off about anti-gay stuff there. Well, eight people in Kuala Lumpur were arrested this week for staging a pro-LGBTQ demonstration in a shopping mall, mostly about lesbians who had been arrested and caned. So the fight continues in Malaysia.
It sure does.
Yeah. And in Lebanon, the leader of Hezbollah made a statement that we should kill all the gays. People are saying this is a diversion from their economic problems. We're always a good scapegoat or diversion, a way to rile up the people. But the strange thing here is Beirut, Lebanon, has always been a gay haven, a gay playground, and less so these days with religious right-wingers saying things like this.
That's right, and exploding grain silos. I won't be going there, but this guy, Hassan Nasrallah, said in a televised speech, it's on television, about gay people, even if they do it once, are to be killed.
Well, once is as good as whatever. In Italy, we told you last week that the new right-wing prime minister, Giorgia Meloni, had ordered the removal of same-sex married couples from any registration in the country. Well, now her party, the Brothers of Italy, how's that sound for fascism, have been ordered to pay a Canadian gay male couple $10,000 because they used a picture of them with their newborn there on posters to condemn gay people. And these Canadian men said, wait a minute, you can't just steal our picture, especially at this moment of joy as we're cradling our newborn. And so they're going to get paid. Not enough, as far as I'm concerned.
But. Imagine that if somebody took the happiest moment of your life, for example, even a wedding photo, and appropriated it as a as an example of what not is desirable.
Turn it into a billboard of hate. But there is a little fight back in Italy. We told you last week, I think, or before, that Meloni had also, and the Miss Italy pageant had banned trans women from the competition. This was after a trans woman won the Miss Netherlands contest a couple of weeks ago. Well, now trans men in Italy are saying, oh, okay, you want to see trans women as men so they can't compete? Well, we're trans men, so clearly you see us as women. So right. We're going to sign up to compete in your Miss Italy pageant.
That's right.
100 trans men have signed up to compete in the Miss Italy pageant.
Well, this is where the language gets people in trouble, and the right really need to look at this, because Miss Italy's official patron, Patrizia Mirigliani, had said it has to be women from birth only allowed to compete. So that would include drag kings, you know, trans men, and that she didn't want to be jumping on the, quote, glittery bandwagon of trans activism.
Well, this is why they want to just erase us all, because it's too confusing for them.
I quite like a glittery bandwagon, actually.
Well, speaking of glittery bandwagons, in India, the gay prince who came out some years ago, Manvendra Singh Gohil, he's pretty glittery and cute. He has given an interview saying that his parents wanted him at the time to have brain surgery to convert him back to heterosexuality. Some people would call this a lobotomy. He's asking the Supreme Court to outlaw it in India, but in fact the parents sought this treatment in the U.S. Doctors here refused to do the surgery because they said homosexuality is not a mental disorder.
Yes.
So he's just telling the story and trying to extrapolate it to India, as the Supreme Court is also considering legalizing same-sex marriage. All right. In Japan, big news in Japan, pop star Shinjiro Abe, who is really a big deal in Japan and is 34 years old, has now come out finally. He did it on stage. He made an announcement. He played his new single called Into the Light, which we will link to in our show note. And he did it because he had lived in the United States for 7 years, and he was astonished to look around and see gay people living their lives openly and happily and freely. And it's a much more closeted, quiet community in Japan, evidently. When he got back there, he realized that he wanted that freedom. And so now at the age of 34, he has come out and says he doesn't want others to suffer the way he had. So he wants to be a role model for young people that they can live freely and openly. And that is big news in Japan.
Big news, too, that his mother said she is 200% supportive.
Yes, very nice. In the UK, in Liverpool, the Eurovision Song Contest was supposed to be held in Ukraine this year because they won Eurovision the year before. And that's what happens when you win, you host it the next year. But they couldn't. And so Liverpool hosted the Eurovision contest. And now they have turned their Pride Parade into a Ukraine Pride Parade.
Isn't that lovely?
Beautiful.
Yeah, and Andy Herring, he's the head of Liverpool City Region Pride Foundation, said LGBT people are a global community, and that's why it is crucial that we shout it loud in solidarity with all LGBT plus people across the world, including Kyiv Pride.
In Iran, a member of the Morality Police Force, which is policing us all over the country, has been fired because a videotape turned up of him having sex with a man. And got posted online. Now, we don't want to be fired for that, but it just shows the hypocrisy going on.
Yeah.
There's a series of books called Rainbow Families for children that show the diversity of families. And they have now, for the first time, been translated. They're called Good Morning, Good Night. And on the left, you see the version in the Scots language, and next to it, the Scottish Gaelic language. And these are breakthroughs to have these books available to people who speak those languages.
They sure are. While you're talking about the Gaelics, did you want to say something about Sinead O'Connor?
In a moment. I want to first just note that the U.S. is sending to the Venice Biennale next year in Italy Jeffrey Gibson, an indigenous and queer artist. He's a Choctaw. And he has been picked to represent the United States at the Venice Biennale. And that is a big first.
That is fabulous.
Yeah. Now, Sinead O'Connor, wow. You know, I look how beautiful she was. Look.
That hit you hard. That really hit queer women hard. And I wanted to poke around in that a little bit with you.
Okay. Well, I loved her. I loved her version of Prince's Nothing Compares to You. I occasionally play that just randomly at home. She was the, and of course, messed up her career by tearing up the picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live, although she says it helped her career, got her out of the mainstream, which she was not enjoying, and took her back to a more rebellious activist good values stance. And I appreciate that and understand her rage.
I just wanted to share something with Gay USA viewers. Curf magazine, curfmag.com, has actually made its archive live. And if you go in there and do an archival search and go to the August 2000 issue, you will see our cover story with Sinead O'Connor, in which she actually came out as a lesbian. And there's several, Diane Anderson Mitchell, the former editor before me, interviewed her. And there are several questions addressing Sinead's sexuality. Now, I don't know if she was, this is how she felt, or if she was having, you know, some bipolar situations at this time. It's hard to understand looking back and reading between the lines, but she literally says, the question is, you are a lesbian? And she says, yeah.
Well, the quote I read at some point was that she ended up describing herself as three quarters heterosexual, one quarter gay. So, you know, bisexual. I think she had a variety of experiences. She had some kids, one of whom committed suicide a year or two ago. She died at 56 in London. And I just thought she was a tortured and extremely intelligent and talented and really looking for the truth, always looking for the truth. And I so appreciated her. And she was an activist on many fronts, including AIDS, and a terrible loss and a terrible tortured life. Suffered a lot of abuse as a child from her mother, and was committed to one of those maudlin laundry facilities. She survived a lot for a long time, but finally couldn't. And what annoys me is, you know, there's a documentary about her called Nothing Compares, and the Prince estate would not give them permission to use her version of Nothing Compares.
Unbelievable.
To documentary.
Unbelievable.
Very appalling. All right, we're down to our last few minutes, and there's an AIDS news and the Republicans in the House are trying to destroy the PEPFAR program, which has saved 25 million lives around the world, and they're claiming it supports organizations that do abortions. This is their theme forever. It's nonsense. And a replacement has been announced for Dr. Fauci at the National Institutes of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, and it's Dr. Jean Marozzo, who pioneered research on PrEP for women, pre-exposure prophylaxis for HIV. And she is openly gay and a professor at the University of Alabama in Birmingham. Welcome, Dr. Jean. People are ecstatic about this.
Welcome. She looks terrific. Yeah. Speaking of openly gay, what about the former bachelorette Gabby Windy came out on The View
this very morning and we picked it up. Gabby Windy, she was on The Bachelorette. She was on Dancing with the Stars. She's like a reality show freak, dating all these men. But she finally realized that she really likes girls. And so she went on The View this morning and announced that. They were a little taken aback. And they treated it as a little like, oh, I know this is tough to say. When are we going to get to the point where we're a little more casual about it? But congratulations to you, Gabby. You were terrific.
Welcome. Yes. Welcome to the community.
Yes.
And what about our drag queen topping the iTunes Christian chart, Flamey Grant?
Flamey Grant on the left with Derek Webb, who is a big country star who got himself up in drag for this. They have done a song called Boys Will Be Girls, and they are now topping the Christian and gospel iTunes charts. The right wing is complaining, but they say that's propelling them up the charts. So congratulations to them. And the second season of Heartstopper is now on Netflix. Two Young Men in Love, if you're following that. You know, what's going on with Anne? Last week she went to Barbie, dragged by friends. This week, she goes to the Taylor Swift Experience at the Museum of Art and Design at Columbus Circle. That's my friend Zoe on the left, who is the Swiftie in the crowd. Again, I'm just along for the ride. I think that what's going on is I'm just having a good time in the summer and relaxing and not being quite so, you know, stuck up about stuff. I can't say.
You're not stuck up.
I enjoyed any of it, but I like my friends, so I'm always happy to hang out with them.
And you're a reluctant Swiftie.
I am not a Swiftie, but I do admire her, and I admire her spending $55 million for her as bonuses for her crew for this tour. Anyway, that is Gay USA for this week. Thank you, Maren, for being here for the last 2 weeks.
Thank you. What do you want me to bring you back from Australia? Some Vegemite?
No, thank you. see you next week with Andy.